Welcome to the ITM Podcast with Steve Perrault and Joey Cabrini.
This is episode 190 of the ITM Podcast presented by SeatGeek. We are the unofficial podcast of your Boston Red Sox. My name is Steve Perrault, his name is Joey Capone, and the Red Sox are 2 weeks away from opening day. How you doing, Joey?
Good, dude. And doesn't it feel like it? Doesn't it feel like baseball outside just a little bit? And this, I know I usually come in with like a sarcastic remark. I kind of mean that. It feels like baseball outside. Let's talk about the weather.
Yeah, let's do a whole show on the weather. I mean, daylight savings is a big deal. I kind of forget how big a deal it is until you get there and you're like, that first Sunday, when that sun's out an extra hour, you're like, is it midsummer? Is it July outside right now? And then you step outside and you get drilled by a, you know, 10-degree breeze that's just right in your face. And then, it's not. It's not midsummer.
Yeah, so, dude, it messes with my brain, like, sitting on the couch and there's sun outside and I'm watching a baseball game. And they'll say, it's 76 degrees for first pitch. And then, I go outside to check the mail. And it's 41. That always messes with my brain. I'm like, how is it 70 in Boston? Because they're not in Boston. They're not in Boston.
They play
this
in
has
Florida
been geography too. And meteorology with ITM. Thanks for tuning in. Most of the episode's going to be that.
That's all we're really trying to do today, honestly. Not a ton going on in Red Sox land. The news on Giolito today, kind of like, yeah, could have expected it. He avoids Tommy John surgery, and he had, a procedure on his right arm, some brace or whatever. What's the deal, Joe? Over to Joe, the doctor of the show.
I'm like 90% sure it's the Trevor Story surgery, where they don't do a full replacement. They do a brace, like an artificial brace, I think is what it is. Just something to help the ligament rather than fully replacing it. But I don't know how much that really affects the timetable. I mean, isn't it still like 6 to 9 months, which is the season?
Yeah, I think it's in that range. With Tommy John, isn't there the chance that that bleeds into the next year? So I suppose they might have avoided a couple months. The thing that with Giolito that's going to suck regardless is that you still have no idea. Obviously, you're going to have no idea what version of him you're going to be getting next year. It's kind of like great news. I don't want to say it's great news for Giolito, but it's not the worst news ever, right? It's like I get to just rehab for the whole year. Now, of course, the player, the determined guys, I want to be out there, yada, yada, yada. I got it. Maybe this is sneaky talk. This might have to be sneaky talk, Joe. But
sure.
When this happens, when a guy gets hurt, and Gerrit Cole going through the same thing with the Yankees right now, when a guy gets hurt like this before the season starts, especially when that guy hasn't thrown a real pitch for your team yet, you shouldn't have to pay the whole contract. That's kind of stupid. You have to pay the whole contract. This guy's not going to pitch for you all year. They should fix that. That's stupid.
I mean, so there usually is insurance on those kinds of contracts. So that usually an insurance company will do that. And then it doesn't count toward the CBT and all that stuff.
What's happening with his contract? What's happening with
this? They didn't have insurance on this deal. That's not a joke. They didn't have insurance on this. It doesn't matter, Steve. It doesn't matter for a whole bunch of reasons. It's not your money is number one. It doesn't matter. Two, it's not affecting their CBT standing at all. Three, they weren't gonna spend any more money. It doesn't matter. Just Lucas Giolito gets a couple of bucks. And here's the thing: it's not a good thing for him. He's 29 years old, brother Bear. He wanted to get back out on the market. That was his whole thing with this deal. Is that like he wanted to
do it next year? He gets to just do it next year.
Like, I mean, you get going out onto the market
full year after he sucked in the second half last year, and now he gets paid full next year too. And then I don't even know what the deal is for 2026. Don't even bring that up. I just think that it favors the player way too much. Now, this isn't like his fault. He got hurt. Who knows? Joey, you brought up a great theory that it might have been because they tweaked with his mechanics, and that could have led to it. And who knows? We may never know.
Part of that, too, I didn't realize this till after we recorded that last episode, but people had been talking after his last spring training start that his velocity was up a tick during his appearance. So part of it, too, I'm sure. Possibly.
No, I'm sure that played a role, but it doesn't feel, it's never felt fully fair. It's not fair that you have to pay the full contract when something like this happens. And at the end of the day, regardless of the contract stuff, you're going to go into next year and this Sox team damn well likely going to finish in last place again. So you're going to be entering 2025 as a likely third time back-to-back-to-back last place champion. That's what the Red Sox are trying to be after this season. And you're just going to slot him into the rotation and be, oh, yeah, so we got Giolito, we got Bayo, we got whoever the free agent is next year or whatever guy they're going to try to convince you they're going to trade for. And you have no way. It's the same boat as these last couple months where it's like I vividly remember you and I doing the Giolito episode and when they signed him. And it's like, good, I guess. I mean, he's the definition of a TBD. Like, you already have TBD guys, and he's like, who the hell knows what you're going to get with him coming off of how last season ended. So now it's like, what version are you going to get after surgery or whatever the hell the procedure was today? Like, what version of him are you going to get now next year? That's an even bigger question mark. So it just keeps moving you further back.
And not to harp on this any more than we need to, but I remember our reaction of Giolito being, that's good as long as that's not it. And and the Red Sox were like, don't worry, that's not it. We're also trading Chris Sale. So there you go.
It was the next day they traded Sale. Yeah, it was like a day or two after they traded Chris Sale to the Braves.
Yeah. So they subtract another starter, so that's a thing. I'm trying to focus on right now and not too far in the future, but I can't be all too hung up on what he's going to be like next year, because in an ideal world, he's not the top of your rotation next year. And he comes in a similar place where James Paxton did, where you can say, oh, okay, like, yeah, slot him into the middle somewhere. Like, you already have your one and two. You know, Bayo has a breakout year, and you acquire somebody. And then, you know, to say I hope Giolito can be a strong three, I like that. I think that's a realistic place to hope that he comes back to. And if he doesn't, to have enough starting pitching depth, which I hear they have a ton of. I keep being told that by Craig Breslow. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll have enough where if he's not, then it's not make or break. I don't want to be in a position at all a calendar year from now where Lucas Giolito's health dictates the future of this team at all. It shouldn't have an impact whatsoever.
Not dictates the future, but if the discussion is like, oh, don't forget, they got Giolito. Yeah, but what the hell version of Giolito do you have coming back? You can't genuinely be that excited about that for 2025. So it's similar to conversations you and I have had before about Chris Sale when he's been marked as out for the year. And we're like, let's not fool ourselves next year when it's spring training and we're saying, hey, don't forget, you got Chris Sale coming. It's like, please stop, spare us. So I'm not in too much of a different spot with Giolito, where if, you know, you enter 2025 and you're putting too much on his plate, that's just, I think, the wrong decision. But who knows? Now we're just talking about hypothetical future stuff, because that's really all we got right now.
Sale does look good this spring, though. I hate to say.
Does he? I genuinely haven't been paying attention at all. Has he been good? I don't even know.
Steve, he looks really good.
He looks good.
It sucks. He looks good. He looks very good, man.
I saw some of the video. Like, I think it was MLB posted it, or might have seen it on BR Walkoff. Like, how does anyone hit this Chris Sale slider? And all the comments were just like, no one hits it because he's never out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's literally unhittable because no one ever sees it, dude. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. It's always nice when the comment section or the replies, like, matches what it should. I'm like, yeah, good job, reply people, which I consider myself one. I like replying to stuff. Good job. Good job. You nailed it. The right answer to that is nobody, because no one ever sees Chris Sale throw a slider because he's never available. But
yeah, nothing worse than scrolling through the comments being like, where are the people who agree with me? Are they in here?
That's, I do that every time. Yeah. I just like people that agree with what I say.
Yeah. And so the more searching you have to do, the more you're like, what is wrong with this world? Why don't people agree with me? Where are the people who think the way I think?
I'll get 30 comments down. I'm like, there's no way there hasn't been someone yet that has my take. Like, I know I'm right about everything.
And I'm not going to comment it, but I think somebody else did.
Someone else should. And then the person that actually commented has no likes and 8 replies to their reply. I'm like, okay, I think I messed up. I think I might be in the wrong here. The Dominican Republic series, any thoughts about that, Joe? It was my reaction. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, not bad.
I do like just the energy that the Latin crowds bring, dude. I love the fact that Miami said that they're going to allow drums and instruments into, God, what's the name of the Marlins ballpark?
Isn't it like Lone? Is it something weird? Didn't they have like Lone Depot or something?
Lonely Island Marlins
ballpark? Yeah, Lonely Island Park. Yeah, Lone Depot Park.
Lone Depot, yeah. The fact that they said they're going to allow
classic ballpark
Lone instruments Depot. Into Lone Depot next year, into the
into
Depot.
LD.
Into the LD, yeah. I love that. So, and also those guys getting to play in front of their home fans, their home, you know, families, friends, all that stuff. Devers saying that he had a hard time finding enough tickets to give away to people. I love all that. There's, and I also love the fact that it was right in the middle of spring training. That, you know, they got
so you do like that part of it, because I was going to say for these special event games, it always feels like it should be regular games, like regular season games, so that you still have that like reason to watch. This wasn't even on national TV. This was only on the local broadcast.
Right. No, I mean, I more meant like if they were going to do this during spring training, I like that it was smack dab in the middle of spring training, that it like it broke things up a little bit. You know, because it's monotonous
For the guys,
so,
for the guys, dude. For
exactly.
The geysers.
Get the geysers out of town a little bit. Get them on a flight. Get their sea legs back on them. You know what I mean?
Maybe have a couple of drinks or something, right? A couple of drinks.
You think they did it? You know what's funny is Cora so blatantly was like, I don't want to play this baseball game. I want to get hammered.
Dude, we don't have the exact quote in front of us, but that's one of the funniest Cora quotes I've ever seen. I think he just straight up said, like, I can't wait for this game to be over so we can hit the town tonight. It was like, I think exactly that.
If that's not exactly it, it's very close.
It's very close. And I read that and was like, no way that's actually Cora. But then you put the pieces together. You're like, oh, right, it's the middle of spring training. These games don't matter. They're in the Dominican Republic. The atmosphere is great. People having fun. Yeah, right. You'd want to get this game over with and go out. It does actually all check out. At face value, though, reading that quote, like when you see Alex Cora said so-and-so this time of year, you just assume he's on that bench at the side of their spring training facility. So the idea of him being like, we can't wait. I don't know why I read it like we're going to go out in Fort Myers tonight and just get sloshed. Like, what? That's a little bit interesting from the manager. But no, I hope they had a fun time. I mean, it was a cool series. The games were entertaining. There was that element of it where, you know, I understand that it's not the full MLB rosters going at it, but the Sox had to come back in game two, end up winning both the games, which I understand in spring training, but when it's a special event game, it's cooler to win it than to lose it. So at least they had that going for them. One of the funnier things I thought was the Yoshida pick with Rafael Devers on a boat. It
was
awesome. I don't know why it reminded me. I was going to make some comment about how it was like when you're on a field trip and so you just get the like people that would never be hanging out together. Like, look at us. We're on a school trip. That's kind of what it's like when you're abroad in college or something. That's kind of what it looked like. But they seem to have fun. They seem to have a fun time. And Cora also alluded to how important that is for, you know, the chemistry of the team, which I agree with. And it looks like it was cool.
That picture, instant classic. Expect to see that for the rest of your life. That's going to be everywhere for a long time. And
that's
God
you
bless.
Saying that you're going to post that like every week. I'm going to put
all
that
the
out
time.
There.
Any game when the two of them do anything. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that and immediately was like, oh, okay, this one's going to be on the timeline. This one, not just today. Forget about today. This one's got some staying power, which is good. Very similar to the day that Rafael Devers was eating ice cream in the post game. You're like, oh, okay, we're gonna see this one for a while. So
that is one thing about spring training that's a little overlooked is how much content like that we get. You know, we got that. I also loved, this isn't really content, but this is similar, you know, team building exercises, which I think matter. Just the fact that everybody was there for Bayo's extension announcement. The fact that everybody was in the room and everybody was there. I don't know. If anything's going to give me faith in this team, it's going to be that kind of stuff. Everybody hanging out together, being there for each other's big moments. The little clips of, you know, Hauk and Whitlock, you know, in the photo studio. Like those kind of things, seeing camaraderie, seeing the guys believing in each other, that's enough for me just to get the juices flowing a little bit. Spring training is just perfect for that kind of stuff. So there's something. Yeah. If you're looking for something, there's something.
It was cool. It was a cool thing to see. It seemed like the guys were able to kind of check out and just enjoy the atmosphere and all that. It was funny. I was watching the second game with Elaine, and Bobby came up with two outs and the bases loaded, and I was like, perfect time to go pee. I literally was getting up to go to the bathroom, and then bang, absolute moonshot, grand slam.
Monster.
And that's the Bobby Dalbec experience, right? That's what you get. He'll look.
That you doubt him and that he's a baller?
No, not that.
That's
but
the
like
experience?
That he'll look terrible at the plate, three out of four at bats, and then the fourth one he hits a grand slam. So not saying that happens all the time.
If
but
he
it's,
hit, if listen, if one of every four ABs was a bomb,
I think he'd be at the bigs.
I think he'd be in the bigs. Yeah,
yeah.
If he was hitting 250 with 76 homers, I think he'd be up.
If he went deep, one out of every four ABs, I mean, that's at least like 140 homers, right? If he played a full seat, like right, so.
Yeah.
This guy's going to double the all-time home run record. Why is he in Worcester? This team's so stupid. Everything they do is so dumb. But, yeah, it was cool. It was cool to see. It wasn't, you know, it's not going to change anyone's life. I'm not that's over here the, like, oh, my God. It had such an impact on me. It was just.
That's the correct tone and the correct response to all of it. It's cool. Nice.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was a cool baseball thing. So, there we go. Not a ton to add to this one, but Rob Refsnyder has a fractured pinky toe and is likely to miss 4 to 6 weeks. Putting baseball stuff aside, Rob Refsnyder he's a great dude. You just don't want to see this happen to a great dude. He's an awesome guy, and I love forgetting he's on the team half the time because then he'll come up and get a huge hit. He'll go like 3 for 4, make a diving catch. Like Rob Refsnyder might be one of the best bench guys in the league, and they're not going to have that. So... I saw some people hypothesizing what that means for the team. But, Joey, want your thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. When you get to this point, we're 2 weeks out from the first pitch at midnight in Seattle. They're doing a midnight madness over there.
Right. The ball drops, yeah.
Yeah, the ball drops, the whole thing. We all know. We don't have to talk about it. But do you think you get to a certain point in spring training like we're at right now, considering how dull this offseason has been as well, that the Sox aren't going to add anybody else, right? You think they're actually going to add somebody else?
No. I don't think that the conversation is even around that. I haven't really seen
anybody
talking
about that. I
saw it
floated a little bit that they might actually still add a right-handed bat, but I don't know.
I mean, God bless them if they do. That would be fine, I guess. Adam Duvall is still a free agent. Nobody's talking about that. I mean, there's still like 15 of them. There's still so many people out there that apparently just aren't going to get a spring training. So it's entirely possible, I guess. But when I hear that, my brain jumps to Sedan Rafaela, and if that implies that he's now going to be on the opening day roster. And that's
definitely increases the chances, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I'm in the minority when I say it, but I think I said it last week here. I'm still pro Worcester for him at the beginning of the year, and it has nothing to do with his ability. I just think that this team values years of control. And I don't think that burning that year now for the first 5 weeks of production matters. I just don't think it does. I would rather have that extra year on the back end when the Sox are, I hope, good rather than right now. So I hope that this doesn't force them into a position where Rafaela comes up on opening day when he wouldn't otherwise. But I don't think they're so dumb as to let a fractured pinky toe take a year of control from a guy that they have a lot of faith in. I just don't think that. And I don't think that 5 weeks in Worcester hurts him in any way. I don't think it slows him down. I don't think it, you know, not seeing major league pitching after having a full spring of seeing it. Like, seeing a mixed bag too, seeing major league pitching and minor league pitching throughout all of spring. I don't think that it really matters to have him down there for the month of April, bring him up in the middle of May, retain that year of control. Again, I don't think that this injury would make them spend that year, but I on the off chance that it does, I really am rooting against it. I like the kid a lot, and I think that like this spring people are falling even more in love with his ability and his athleticism and all that, but it's just not worth it to me on the back end. I would rather have that year, 2029 or whatever.
Yeah, it's... I feel like the league, have they taken measures against this? I remember seeing conversations of them trying to push back against teams manipulating, you know, the service time. But I don't know if there was any penalties for it, if they could deem that you're intentionally doing it. But
that was like late. That was something about like late in the year sending guys down to like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was in those kind of situations. I think that it had something to do with like the time of year to bring up a guy middle of the year in May. I don't think that that's something they were cracking down on. It was more like manipulating guys to, you know, use 1 year of service time over the course of 3 years or whatever, you know.
Yeah, the Raffaella thing is interesting to follow. I mean, we'll know soon enough, right? I feel like we'll probably know within a week. Like, normally this is around the time where they start optioning guys, like, within the next week or so. Like, that doesn't typically happen close to opening day. I remember you start hearing those guys start getting kind of picked off when you get to that, like, 12, 11, 10 days left in camp. So, it's going to happen soon.
So, because you brought that up, let me ask you. Nerf gun to your dome.
Mm.
Right?
Oh, okay. This is serious then.
We're talking bouncy balls suspended over your head. And I'm talking, I'm not even talking to dodgeballs. I'm talking like a bunch of little bouncy balls.
Okay.
Like, those hurt. Is it Bob or is it CJ Crone?
Crone.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Just like that?
I'm basing it solely off of the quotes. I've just been reading the Cora quotes, reading what we're hearing about Crone. They seem more confident in him than what they already know. There's something to be said about the unknown versus the known, and that favors the unknown, where, like, at least there's the chance that this CJ Crone guy could do XYZ. With Bob, we know who Bobby is. That Bobby Dalbec, there's a 0% chance Bobby's just going to stun everyone and not strike out, like, 80% of the like, that's what Bobby's going to do. Joe, I know he's your guy, and I can see the pain in your face, but Bobby's not just going to come up to the Sox and be like, tearing the cover off the ball. It's not going to happen. But he will go to Worcester and potentially set the record. What's the record? What's the triple A home run record? What do you think it is?
I don't know. How
we
many
should
games
be going
they
for
play?
That?
How many games are they
It's 46. Play? It's 46. The triple A home run record. 46 home runs, as we all know, by Ken Phelps. He did it in Wichita in 1982. So,
Kenny P.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
I feel like that's doable.
Again, I don't know how many games. They play.
It doesn't have his games. Doesn't have his games. But at bats per home run, it was like a home run every 10 ABs. That's impressive. A home run every 2.5. Well, I guess that would actually add up.
150 games. Okay.
So, yeah, you that's like the equivalent of what, like a 53 homer season in the bigs or something like that?
I don't know. Maybe a little less.
Yeah.
Yeah, give Bobby 47. But he's not going to be in Worcester, bro. He's going to be up here. Listen, here's what people don't talk about. Contacts. I think Bob's wearing contacts.
I thought you said context. No, contacts. No,
contacts. Contact lenses, dude, on his eyeballs.
People don't talk enough about contact lenses, so I'm going to do it right now. Here's the deal.
I'm telling you. Watch Bobby's eye, bro. And here's the thing. Known versus unknown, dude. Bob has shown you his ceiling. Just let him touch it again. Just let him touch it. Let him fly. Let him spread his wings a little bit.
Yeah.
He's done it. It's not like he's never done it. That's the thing. You know what I mean?
I mean, if that's your only case, then I don't know. I don't love it. 33 homers last year and 114 games in Worcester. He could have done it last year. If you got a full year, if you played like 140, like it would have been hard. But he was 13 homers away from the record. So, just saying. Just saying, give Bob a chance at Triple A.
Give him a shot.
Give him a shot at Triple A once again. That's all I'm asking for. All I'm asking for.
He got a bomb last year? I don't remember that.
What's up?
He got a bomb last year. I don't remember that.
Was it in where was that? So where do you think it was? I feel like it was in Baltimore. I don't think it was at Fenway.
It definitely wasn't Fenway.
It was in Texas. It was in
Texas.
Yeah.
Mm.
He went 2-for-4, a home run. Oh, man, who could forget that game? The 15-5 loss on September 20th. That was, I think, Bayo pitched, if I'm not mistaken, actually.
15-5. So was this, like, late in the game and they had, like, a... was this a position player pitching?
Yeah, Bayo did start. I think the Sox went up early and then got smoked. Yeah, they were up 4-0 and then they lost 15-5.
That team was awesome, dude. That team was sick.
It was 4-0 heading to the bottom of the sixth, and the Rangers were like, why are we losing 4-0 to the Red Sox? We're about to win a World Series and we're losing to these scrubs. We're in a division race right now. They scored 6 runs in the bottom of the second. The game was over from there. But it was a day game, I believe, and Bayo's not good in the day because he likes sleeping. We've talked about this.
Right. Speaking of division race,
yeah,
is this a good time to talk about those Bronx Bombers?
Yeah, might as well, briefly. Go for
you
it.
You want me to?
Yeah, take it, Joe. I don't want it. Go for it.
Are the Yankees getting a little jealous of what they're seeing up here in Boston? Are they trying to take our spot at the bottom of the division?
I think so. I'm telling you, dude. The Red Sox are trying to be back-to-back-to-back last-place champions. That's what they're going for this year. And the Yankees are like, we might want to prevent that. We might want to shut that down right now.
I think they may. Gerrit Cole, fans today on a roller coaster. If you are a Yankees fan, first of all, I don't know why you're listening to this show, but also, what a roller coaster you guys have been on. Went to bed last night expecting to wake up to some terrible news.
Does your phone keep blowing up, Joe?
Here's the thing. John Heyman decides he has to go on the air and talk about Dylan Cease because they traded Dylan Cease. That's another Yankees thing. They tried to make an offer for Dylan Cease right at the end. They did not get it. So Gerrit Cole's out for, they're saying, 1 to 2 months. That ain't going to be the case, I'll tell you that much. Getting multiple opinions and taking the best case scenario and running with it, I just don't trust in that. Did Lucas Giolito just do that? Yes. Do I trust in that? Not really.
No.
But neither here nor there. And obviously Aaron Judge, they're just lying to everybody's faces about what's going on with Aaron Judge, saying that he's totally fine, saying that he's going to play this day, like lying about how many ABs he was supposed to get, taking him out mid-game. It looks like his oblique was strained again, but that's speculation. But you have to speculate with the Yankees because they're not going to tell you anything. They will lie to your face. That's the Yankee way, brother. But the other thing about the Yankees, Steve, that I wanted to bring up on here. I don't know if you saw this, heard this. You see this week? Will Fleming on the broadcast on Wednesday in the Red Sox-Yankees game insinuated that Alex Verdugo might be having similar disciplinary issues in New York already.
I actually did not see this.
That I only saw one person talking about it, but I did hear it. But he mentioned being late to team meetings and being late to team functions and stuff in spring training.
You know how much I suck, Joe?
That you're willing to give him shit for this now? Because me too.
If Doogie does this shit with the Yankees, I'll be like, this guy again. What is this guy's problem? The disciplinary issues, have you learned? Grow up. What? And of course it's happening in the Bronx. Figure it out. They have no idea what they're doing over there. God, this guy's got to clean up his act.
I did see it and go like, good luck.
Yeah.
Hey, have fun with him. It's like, we spent years defending this guy.
The biggest Doogie apologists on the planet. We're like, yeah. Could have told you that was coming, this guy. God damn it.
Yeah, so that really piqued my interest when I heard that. But
as
nobody else is talking about it.
I literally have his jersey like
hanging
in the studio.
Got
this guy's jersey in the studio. I'm like, this guy sucks.
But yeah, dude, that's the Yankee way. They're ruining him, dude. Because before that, I don't remember ever hearing about stuff like this. So
no, this guy was clean, dude. This guy was a clubhouse. What's the opposite of cancer?
Taurus.
I don't know. Yeah, he was a clubhouse Taurus, and everyone was saying that this guy was built for team chemistry and vibes and all that. The funny thing is, at one point he was, but yeah, if that's the case, Joey, real talk, not sneaky talk, real talk. If that is the case. That's pretty crazy. Like if Doogie's going to go into New York, and this is being real here. If he's going to go into New York in a contract year, with everything that they have on the line. Now, obviously, the situation's a little different if Gerrit Cole and Aaron Judge just aren't going to play. But it's pretty high stakes considering you got Soto for a year. You got Dugo, obviously, different caliber player. But you got Verdugo for a year. Marcus Stroman, what's his contract? How many years is that?
Three, I want to say.
Yeah, three. Okay, he's a couple. But still, very clearly, they were trying to make a push for this season. They were trying to really go for it this season to a certain extent. Like, I'm sure Yankee fans would say they should have made more moves. And Snell is still out there. Obviously, Montgomery, too, but I haven't heard any Montgomery Yankees talks all offseason. But if that's the case and Verdugo is still having issues and showing up late and kind of doing things his way, that is wild. I mean, of course, I said on here many a time, a lot of it, you know, back in my guy, I thought a lot of the stuff that happened in Boston was blown out of proportion. I thought he got a unfair deal and was still honest in saying it's not like he's just fully innocent of all the charges. So I just thought it felt too weighed towards like, oh, Doogie sucked. What the hell is he doing? It should have been a little more balanced.
The proverbial charges here we're talking about. We're not, right?
Yes. You know what I'm saying. You know
yes.
You know
we're not
talking
about anything other than his time in Boston.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, and yes. You know. Now you saying that makes it seem like it was about
well, no,
because,
listen, it made me go, Jesus, why is he bringing that up? So
no, that would have been completely random. But yeah. Innocent of the accusations of being lazy. Let's just
not caring.
Here's, all that stuff.
That's still happening
in New York. Like, that is a real problem. And we told you guys, this guy sucks.
We warned you. Here's the thing, dude. My actual first thought was like, this is supposed to be a fresh start. That was his whole thing, is like, you know, excited to get out of Boston where the manager had it out for him. Yeah, and has this fresh start. And like, if this is true and he's not making it through spring, that is tough. That is tough. It's spring training. How are people already telling Will Fleming, like, yep, same issues already?
Yeah, if Will's saying that, it's 100% happening. He wouldn't feel confident enough floating that on air if it's not true. So that's pretty brutal.
Yeah, pretty crazy stuff. So see you guys in the basement of the division this year. That is going to be kind of fun. You know, no, let's talk about this real quick. The Yankees losing their ace, right? Those Toronto Blue Jays. I don't know if you saw this Alek Manoah fella. I don't know if he's going to be what he was supposed to be, right?
Big boy.
Those Rays. Tyler Glass now. Gone. He's with that team on the West Coast now.
Yep.
Kind of the Sox and the Orioles might be the best pitching staffs in the division. Is that crazy?
It's like, finish the best teams in baseball. Like, is that kind of
best pitching
going?
Staffs in the division, best rotations in the division? Is that crazy to say?
Yes. Yeah, the Blue Jays don't exist. Gausman's probably going to win the Cy Young, especially now if Gerrit Cole's missing a couple of months. But outside of that, I mean, no issue. They got Barrios, they got Bassett, they got, you say Kikucho, I say Kikucho. I fucked that up. But yeah, I honestly, it's going to be interesting. And we talked about this before we started recording, Joey, that there's not enough discussion about the Rays potentially finishing last place. I think, and I get it. I understand. I know what you're going to say. I know what everybody says. I get it. Every year they find a way, blah-de-da. I did a deep dive on like their roster, who they brought in, or like who they didn't bring in. They brought in like nobody. And like you mentioned, Glasnow out, obviously Wander Franco gone forever. Shane McClanahan, who knows when he's back, definitely not this season. So I just don't know, like their lineup sucks. Like, and I know they haven't just had like loaded lineups before, but it's like extra bad this year. And pitching wise, unless Eflin has like some miraculous season, I don't know how they're going to compete in the division. But then again, if the Yankees stink and the Red Sox stink, maybe the AL East stinks, huh? Maybe this division sucks. We should flip the description here.
I mean, I just will never count the Rays out. I just can't do it. They'll just find a way to manufacture 91 wins. Like, their season starts at 89. I don't understand how that happens. It just does. They're pitching factory, man. They got that you know, that big machine under the Trop that keeps pumping out the same fellas. So they'll find a way. They'll have the best bullpen in baseball through July. You know, they'll come out of April with one of the best records in the bigs. Eflin probably will take a step forward. I just can't. I think what you're saying is likely, and I understand why. When you really look at their team, I understand.
The team's not good.
The laundry is just too good, dude. I don't know what it is.
They do have good laundry. There's no getting around it. Like, clearly, the jerseys they wear give them extra power, and it has over the years.
It's working. Whatever they're doing down there works. But, I mean, I think this is... I mean, I haven't looked at the odds, but is it just, like, a given that it's the Orioles' division this year? Is that...
No, dude, the odds make no sense. I actually wanted to mention this.
It's always inflated towards the Yankees, but I mean, if they don't have Cole or Judge opening day, and Stanton
this is a
corpse.
As of March 8th, let's see here.
They did get Juan Soto.
The Yankees over-under is, depending what book you're looking at, it's 91.5 after they just went 82-80. Understandable, you know, they got Soto, I get it. But 91.5 for the Yankees. The Orioles, 89.5. The Yankees are projected to finish ahead of the Orioles. Now, I understand there's probably a lot of people that genuinely don't get why that's the case. A lot of times it's to balance out the money on both ends because people are unrealistic in their expectations for the Yankees, so they bet the over, and they have to bring that up to try to balance it out. But the Orioles being projected to get 89.5 wins after they just won, what did they just win? 101 or something like that? I mean, they just went off last year, and they're only getting better. Gunnar Henderson into his second season. Santander is a boss. Rutschman, I feel like I just said that weird. Cedric Mullins, and, of course, you know, Holiday's kid. Like, you got Corbin Burnes in the building. Like, that team's going to be good. Really good.
They're gonna be really good.
89.5 is wild. To the point, and we've talked about this before, Joey, with lines out there, where it's like, what am I... Am I missing something? Is there, with that 89.5, is that like it's obviously going over? I don't like when things are too obviously going over, because this is a very obvious over for the Orioles.
I mean, dude, it's not just that, too. I mean, the 89 is crazy, don't get me wrong. But looking at the odds differential in them winning the division, like, there are books where you can get them at plus 210 to win the division. That's
+210.
+210. Most of them are like 190 or 200.
That's absurd.
It's crazy. The Yankees are favored everywhere.
It's every year. I just.
And like, I get it. Like, the Yankees, you know, get that inflated, whatever. But like, that just seems like, it seems like anybody who knows ball is going to make some good money on the Orioles this year.
No, it's true. It's true. Joe, I think it's time for some slide in the DMs. That was one of your best ones yet.
Thanks, man.
This comes in from Noah.
Noah.
I feel like Steve is a big Dune guy. I'm a huge sci-fi fan. I just saw part two. Want to know your opinions on it. Noah, I tried watching the first Dune movie, and I stopped about 15 minutes in because I was falling asleep. And that's not a popular opinion, I understand. I'm not a huge Timothée Chalamet guy. I'm certainly not a big Zendaya guy.
Really?
She's got to be one of the most overrated actor or actresses on the planet. Zendaya stinks.
Well, like, here's the thing. Yeah, you can't listen to her Disney talk. Kid. She's good with like the. Was she?
I think so. Yeah, or was on a Disney show. Wait, whatever. But
feel like I would have known that. But yeah, she's good with like the facial acting. Her when she has to say words, that's not her strong point. No.
So she should be in A Quiet Place 4.
Yes,
that would be great for her. I just feel like I've seen. With Chalamet, and actually like Willy Wonka, I thought that was good. But with Chalamet and Zendaya, I feel like they're just playing themselves. I don't feel like, at least the movies I've seen, it doesn't really feel like they're like acting that much. But
Chalamet's like such a movie star that I think his aura kind of supersedes any role. And he's so handsome that nobody wants to make him look like not him, you know? Somebody like Austin Butler, he's in Dune 2, and he's unrecognizable. They put makeup and prosthetics and all that stuff on him. Chalamet's so good looking. They're like, we're not going to touch your hair. We're not going to do too much crazy makeup on you. We're going to look like you. So, yeah, it doesn't help.
I have always wondered if his last name wasn't Chalamet, if he'd have the same kind of aura. Like, if he was just Tim Peters, I don't
think
we'd
French,
talk about
dude.
Him.
He's, like, from France.
But he doesn't act French. Like, he is the most American
you ever heard
kid
him speak
ever.
It?
I haven't. That would actually surprise me.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Noah, I haven't seen him. So.
If I may?
Yep, you may.
I saw Dune 2 last weekend at IMAX. I'm seeing it again Friday and Saturday. So I'm about to embark on my second and third watchings
you're,
of it.
You're Dune 2 more viewings?
Come on now. It's unreal, dude. It's unreal. I was distracted at one point in the movie because I was thinking about a scene that had already happened in the movie. I was distracted thinking about the movie I'm watching. It's so good. Yeah. And the thing is, the first one is great, but it's not as good. You can watch like a 10-minute, 15-minute recap that brings
I'm
you
gonna
right
get
up
through
to
it.
Speed.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch all of it. I'll do
just
it.
Just do a recap. Do a 5, 10, 15-minute YouTube recap and go see the second one, because the second one is I mean, it's unbelievable. The thing with the first one is it's a lot of backstories, a lot of learning people's names, and it brings you right up to the action, and then it stops.
Okay, that's great. That'll really get me going. And it's, what, 2.5 hours of that?
About that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's a hard sell.
The second one is 2:45, and I'll tell you when it ended, when the credits rolled, I was like, there's no way I've been sitting here for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Well, those are always good when they actually fly by. This comes from the Fenway Experience.
The Fenway Experience.
The Fenway Experience, yeah. My guy.
What up? TFE.
Will there be an MVP snub due to two players on this team receiving MVP votes? There's a legitimate chance Casas and Devers could snub each other because of how good they both could be. The funny thing is, this is not a joke DM. And I understand the talent that both guys would have. Here's the thing. When's the last MVP? I actually looked this up. I'm about to ask a question I know the answer of. The last MVP on a sub-500 team. Was it sub-500 or missed the playoffs? I guess both. I think it was A-Rod. A-Rod. Really? It was either sub-500. I'm completely botching the stat. Might have been a last place. Yeah, last place team MVP was A-Rod, I believe, on the 03 Rangers. So it's been 21 years since anyone's had to be concerned about this, the Fenway Experience. I wouldn't worry about it. I would not worry about two Red Sox players in 2024 taking away MVP votes from each other.
There's a reality where they could both get votes.
It could happen. That could happen.
That could happen.
That could happen.
I'll say that.
Comes in from Flying Pineapple.
Flying P.
Flying P. FP. Sliding the DMs. With the baseball season right around the corner, the smells of fresh-cut grass, Fenway Franks, and the roar of the crowd on Lansdowne and Jersey Street is enough to get anyone excited for Sox baseball. My question to you is, what is you and Joey's, in parentheses, not sure how that sentence works, all-time favorite breakfast meal, and why is it medium-rare sirloin steak with over-easy eggs? What do you got, Joe?
I'm a big, I like Eggs Benny. So I like any kind of Eggs Benny. I like hash specials. So like if you got hash browns with like, you know, some over-easy eggs and some stuff on it, I'm going to love that. Huge corned beef hash guy. So you give me any combination of those things, game over.
That was good. That was a good answer. I don't really do breakfast. I'm just not ready to eat in the morning. I get excited for lunch. I've also been fasting a lot lately, so I'll eat my lunch at like 2:30 or 3. I don't know. I'm bad for this. We used to go to Friendly's. My dad and I would go to Friendly's, and that was awesome. Get the sausages, eggs. The home fries. Oh, love the home fries with the ketchup. Getting to just get away with like eating fries for breakfast is awesome. So that would be it. That would be the big thing.
But like, you ever have a night? Maybe you have one too many, Steve. I know this is not like you. I don't know if you've ever done this. Maybe you have one too many. You wake up in the morning, you're like, I just want a greasy plate of slop. And you get a big old breakfast and halfway through, you're like, I'm so full. I feel terrible. And you don't stop. And you finish it all, and you sit on your couch, and you don't do anything for the rest of the day. You ever do that? Doesn't that feel American?
No. If it's anything in that ballpark, it's normally Five Guys, honestly. The double burger.
Well, Five Guys is the breakfast food of lunch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's ever said that. That was accurate, though. This comes in from our guy, Mike.
No more dog Mike.
So I got a call from the Red Sox ticket office about getting tickets for this season. I used to sell tickets for the Avalanche, so I know the grind, and I give this guy the time of day. I was honest with him and said, honestly, I am pretty disappointed with the direction of this team at the moment. Obviously not something in your control. His rebuttal for that is, quote, well, with the team not being so good the past few years, there are many more options available for tickets. I give him credit for trying to combat that, but yikes.
Is that, here's the thing, that's got to be in their script to like what to say
surely.
When people say the team isn't good. If that's the script writing, that's a little tough.
Almost promise you that's in the script. Like, make sure if people say we suck, we know we suck, but that means you're in luck. That's probably the line they have written down. We know we suck, but now you're in luck because we got all sorts of seats for you. I bet that's part of it. And that is funny, Mike. Mike's been sending stories in, and I love it because I always ask for stories and no one sends them in. So shout out to Mike for that.
Why would they not utilize some kind of like loyalty program where they're like, well, you know, if you buy tickets now and you get points and whatever, you know, in the years where we're expected to be good in the next year or two, you know, you get a discount or you might get a free game or something like that. Why not that?
One would think they should do that.
One would think. But,
oh, well. This comes in from Alex.
Alex.
Hey, guys. Alex from Newfoundland back again. Like many of us, I have low expectations for the Red Sox this season. However, the optimistic part of me is trying to find something to look forward to this year. Other than a winning record, what are some things you guys are hoping to see come out of the 2024 season? Thanks. Casas winning MVP, but maybe not getting MVP because Devers is going to take some votes from him. What else? It's really what sucks is that when they're talking about all the youth movement stuff and it's just like, shut the hell up. But I am excited to watch some of the younger guys. But I'm like, shut it. Let me say that. You should be going and signing players. I should be like, can't wait to pair those players with some of the younger guys. Mm-hmm. You're not doing your part. So that makes me not even want to get excited about some of the young guys. But that would be a lie. I am. I'm most excited this year for Casas. I am most excited to see what Tristan does in technically year three, but really year two. I'm excited to see what my guy Duran does. I think Jaron has a lot on the line, and if he can stay healthy, can really impress some folks. And, of course, you know, throw Bayo in there. Trevor Story is at the top of the list. How is he going to look? Can he stay healthy? Devers, can he improve defensively? I would hope. Or else now you're going to talk about him being the DH, and then it's like, well, Yoshida's the DH, and it's round and round we go, just making DHs out of guys that should be playing in the field. So that would be it. What do you got, Joe?
All those things in that order, plus something I don't think people are talking about enough, is that Kyle Teal may be ready to go by the end of this year, and he might be up here. So it makes sense, the path for him, you know, being that Reese McGuire is all but disposable, it does make sense that you could see him. So he could be our first glimpse this year at one of those top three guys, which would definitely be something. I would urge anybody, though, who is super excited about Teal, which I am, but I think realistically so, is to go and look at his Sox prospects page and, like, really look at him. Like, he's not a slugger. Like, he's not, he's not a Joe Mauer type where he's going to, you know, revolutionize the game. And the position, like he's a defense first catcher, but he's supposed to be one of those core pieces. So I want to get a look at him. That would be cool. And beyond that, all the things that you said, plus Yoshida. I don't know if you mentioned Yoshida. I would like to see
Yoshida in there.
Yeah, I'd like to see him have a full year where he can dominate the whole time rather than having these like little spurts and then, you know, be tapered off by the end of the year and see what getting him off his feet does for him too.
Did you see Yamamoto has a Yoshi in his locker or something like that?
Oh, yeah. They call him Yoshi, yeah.
Yeah, and he's cool with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I get that it's in his first name. Like, I get that. But also, we make nicknames out of people's last names all the time. We call people
by their last
name. We
make nicknames out of not even someone's name. So If it's in, if a name is in your name, sometimes nicknames are like, that's not even how it's spelled in your name. That's not even a shorter version of your name. So
we call the chubby infielder Ice Cream Scoops.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, yeah. Raphael Devers get away with that one. Scoops. Like, come on. We can't call Yoshida Yoshi. We can't chop two letters off. My bad. Yeah. Again, my bad for even saying something.
That one still bothers me too. Normally this is the time where I would be like, Steve, get over it, dude. It was so long ago. Get over it.
No,
I think about
it
all the time
it.
Too, man. It's like,
I'm clearly
don't ever accuse me of being culturally insensitive while giving a guy a nickname
just,
that's like
his name.
It's just
a name. It has nothing to do with
Yeah.
The people.
Yeah.
It's just that one specifically. We're not going to harp on this for too long here. The next hour is about this.
Who cares?
But that one specifically has consistently gotten the biggest losers in the replies. It's always the biggest phonies that reply, "I doesn't like that, Steve." Like it's the biggest clowns of all time that jump out of nowhere. And are like, "What that? Delete it." I'm not deleting it, dude. I'm not like, I said Yoshi. Because he's one of my favorite Mario characters. You friggin'. This comes in from Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Slide in the DMs. Who is a reporter on the Red Sox beat that you guys would like to face in a one-on-one baseball battle? You can either pitch or hit against your chosen opponent.
Mm.
Who you got, Joe?
It's tough. I'd love to square up Jared. I really would. But the thing is, I know that he'd make excuses. I know that he'd be like, oh, I haven't pitched. I put on too much mass. I don't have the same elasticity I used to. I know that he would just find a way to. Because the thing is, I don't want to be like, oh, I want to strike out Pete Abe. Like, that doesn't do anything for me. It's a lose-lose situation. You look like a loser.
First guy that came to mind was Pete Abe. But then I'm like, I don't even want to. Then I'd have to set something up with Pete Abe. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. It's got to be somebody like. Who has like some baseball prowess to them?
Oh,
so
Lou.
You can, like,
Lou.
Hang.
Let's just say Lou. Let's go Lou, right? Go Lou. It's like if you struck out Lou, that matters. Dude played in the bigs. I mean, I probably wouldn't strike him out, but what?
And then the thing would be like, well, he's a major leaguer.
Yeah,
so
you can't lose.
Of course he
you
hit
can't,
me. Yeah.
You can't lose. Yeah. Let's go with Lou. I think that's a good one there. This comes from Josh.
Josh.
Which jersey do you think the Sox will win more games in this season? I'd hope the home ones, brother. The home whites.
Aren't they only wearing the City Connects on like Fridays? Home Friday, Fenway Fridays.
I haven't checked the latest on the jerseys, but
they said they said it's either Fridays. I think it's Fenway Fridays. They're gonna wear the City Connects.
Okay.
the reds on Saturdays. So
okay.
Otherwise, I would say the yellows. I'm winning percentage. I'm still going yellows. Just until that's wrong, that's my take.
Last one. Last one. Let's get a good one here. Let's just go with this. It's just a comment. So glad Giolito doesn't need to. This is from Tom.
Hey, Tom.
So glad Giolito doesn't need to have Tommy John. Love the pod. There you go. That's good.
I agree.
Tom, agreed. Agreed, brother. Time to empty some bench. Might have to do some sneaky talk real quick for this one. That Chapman video is probably the most uncomfortable thing I've watched in my entire life.
Steve,
what the hell is that video, dude?
I was rooting so hard for that to be somebody else's mom. I was rooting for that to be anyone else's mom. It's like, tell me it's like his girl's mom. And he's like, aha, I grabbed your mom's honks.
Even that is so weird. Even that would be so weird. But it ended up being the weirdest option. It was going to be weird regardless, and it was the top weird option of his own mother. That's all I had for that. I have a couple more bench items. So it is a little crazy at face value that Jordan Montgomery is still out there. He's still out there. So now I just wanted to update my Boris stat. There had been zero Scott Boris starters over the last decade who were expected to get multi-year deals who were still free agents in mid-March. Now he's got two. He's got two in Montgomery and Snell. And we are literally not like rounding up the We're literally 1 week to the day away from real regular season MLB games, and the reigning Cy Young winner in the National League is teamless, and a guy that played a huge role in his team winning the World Series is teamless. It's crazy. It's like seeing the NFL these last couple days, Joe, and how wild that free agency has been. Montgomery and Snell became free agents in week 9 of this past NFL season. That is halfway through the regular season. They've been free agents since then, and still you got Saquon Barkley's now on the Eagles. Like, that's now happened, but those guys are still out there. It's, I understand we talk about the difficulties of having like a free agent window in MLB and that the Players Association wouldn't agree to XYZ, but it's got to be better than this. Like, this is just stupid at this point.
It is. And if you're these guys, I'm sure there's a growing rift between them and Boris, because if you're them, you want a spring training. You want to know where you're going to live for the next multiple years.
The family's
got to
be like, what the hell? Yeah.
Right. So I'm sure I would put so much money on the fact that both of those guys, and probably other free agents as well, that I don't know how many of the other guys he's representing. It doesn't matter. We're talking about Snell and Montgomery. I'm sure both of them have independently said to Scott, like, I'll just take something at this point. I just want to know where I'm going. Mm. Like, I'll take something reasonable at this point. And I bet that a lot of it comes to Scott's his ego and his reputation and all of that stuff that's making him say no. I'm sure it does, because, you know, the deals that they acquire go on to his resume. And those things, you know, he's creating a portfolio of contracts that he gets for guys. And it's hard at this point to not think that they've got to be so, so frustrated with him. And I do not blame them. They are so deserving to be on a major league team by now. And there's no reality where either of them are ready for opening day now. I don't care how much.
That's what I was thinking. There's no chance now, right? I mean, guys have been making, like, the real dudes, the real starters around the bigs have been making spring starts for 3 weeks now. So they can't make that up. There's no way. And that's not even factoring in the stuff you do before you're making the starts. So they're over a month behind.
It doesn't matter how much tossing they do at Boris Korp. Like, the reason spring training is so long is for pitchers. Position players don't need a month to get ready. It's for those guys. It's for your starters primarily to get them stretched out and all that stuff. So I think there's no reality where they're ready for opening day. And then you got to think about the kind of deals that these guys are going to be getting around this time. And if they're going to be getting a deal, let's say it's similar to like Bellinger, right? Like, just in terms of construct, not in terms of money, where there's an opt-out after the first year or two. Okay, well, now what's the maximum number of starts that they can make? Because now they're going to miss at least their first two or three, right? So it's cutting away from their own, you know, if it's a first-year opt-out and they just are on the mound less time and they're just a step behind in general, It doesn't help them to then get into free agency once again. So it's all ugly. I agree with you. They got to do something, but the PA is not going to agree to anything that gets these players less money. And I don't think they should, but there has to be some kind of beneficial thing.
This is just irresponsible. Getting to this point is irresponsible. Like, you can't have two starter studs just out there and now absolutely going to miss opening day, not due to injury, due to you not signing a contract yet. Like, what are we talking about? It has been the offseason since like November 5th, and now it's March 13th, and you still haven't signed a deal yet. You still haven't, if you're Scott Boras, gotten these guys major league deals. It's ridiculous. And I do feel, and I not to go into the, like, this isn't fair. It's not fair for the guys that are now going to be in the rotation. They've been working their ass off in spring training, and now they're going to get bumped because Montgomery or Snell's going to get acquired in the next couple of weeks and then, you know, be ready to go by, like, late April. And, oh, great, now I got to move because you guys took forever to sign this guy. Like, that's stupid, too. The whole thing is dumb. When you're on opening day you guys have been doing, and the Red Sox are doing a lot of this, but other teams that have a legitimate chance do this as well. It's a lot of like, all right, this is our year. Let's go. Like, we, this is the group we got. We know we got the guys in here to win it all. When you're now adding a main piece that would help, now I'm sure the team, you'll be excited about it and all that. But the fact that they're added on late and at this awkward time is just, it's not good for the game. I hate it, but whatever.
It would be pretty sweet if right now I was able to be like, hey, Monty, did the Sox just dropped?
Yeah, news for you. This just broke. Yeah, that would have been pretty crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I just refreshed Twitter a couple of times just to make sure.
No, I bet you there. John Heyman is just now letting you know 4 hours later the cease deal happened. This is, he's probably
did
letting
you see
you know
that
again.
He was actually
like
12, did tweet it.
It was like 20 minutes later. And he's like, Dylan cease to the Padres. Yeah, we know, John. We know.
I make this joke all the time, or make this claim all the time. Like, I want to just start doing that. I want to
just
start like getting a pass in notification and then just tweeting like cease to the Padres.
Yeah. Like,
that's the same thing John Heyman does.
It's the same exact thing. Yeah. He's not crediting at all there. He's delivering that news as if it's his news. It's basically like a it's plagiarizing a tweet, essentially. That's the equivalent of it. Couple more things on the bench. That Casas home run today was hilarious. Absolutely spanked it. I only saw the Yes Network clip of it, and I would assume that was the only broadcast because the Red Sox tweeted out the Yes Network clip, which is always interesting. You don't see that too often. They're interviewing Aaron Boone, and he just goes, he just like stops talking. You can hit a ball so hard that everyone just kind of like stops in their shoes, and that's what happened with the Casas home run today. He hit that ball so hard that even Rodon was like, he did the yikes face. Like looking over at whoever was the third. So impressive shot by Tristan Casas. Hopefully a lot more of those this year. And I saved the best for last, Joey. I saved the best for last. Marcelo Meyer got a buzz cut. And when I say it's one of the dumbest things he could have possibly done, I really, truly mean it. You know that Keke Palmer line, Joey? Like, I don't know who this man is. I'm sorry. I don't recognize this man. That's what I felt like looking at that image of Marcelo. What are you doing, brother? In Joey terms, brother bear. What are you doing? What are you doing? You're a really good-looking guy. You got great moss. And you had Roman Anthony buzz it off? What? Was that just
Casas
on a whim?
Too,
the
bro.
Way he said it. The way, you know, Casas is has a new look every other day. I kind of expect
we'll get over that
with Tristan Casas. With Marcelo Meyer, I'm like, this kid's smooth. Every interview I've seen with Marcelo, well-spoken. He's kind of talking like he's already a big leaguer. And then he does that interview, and I saw the clip on the socials, and I'm like, wait a second, what looks different here? Oh, right, his hair. And he said that the night before, Roman Anthony just buzzed it off. I love both you guys. Not cool, man. Not cool. Should have kept the flow. Anthony's got flow too. Like, they both kind of have the like 2017 Benny flow going, and they just, you know, cut it off. What do you, I'm like offended. Like, I would love to have that hair. That'd be incredible. But yeah, just disappointed. Joe's got his look going
so
right now.
People are talking that I might have the best hair in Red Sox Nation now. People are saying that. So I wanted to.
It was between you and Marcelo, so now you're in first place. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll say that he did remove a bit of his aura with doing that. You know, a little bit of the energy, the spice, something. Something a little. I was less excited. I saw him and I was like, no. Grow it back now. Right now.
Joe. You obviously now have the best hair in Red Sox Nation. How long does it take to get to the point where you can do the head flick? Like, it takes a while. I had that in high school, and it would take a while to get to that point.
You had that hair, and I got to see that.
You'll laugh at the photo. Yeah.
I got to see that. I mean, I don't know. How long have I been doing this? All winter? So 6 months?
Yeah, like 5-6 months. Yeah. So it's going to be like July and his hair's not going to be fully grown back. It's just, I don't want to overdo it, but I'm going to. It's an awful decision by someone that you and I both are heavily invested in and Red Sox fans as well. Come on, man. Come on.
Brutal.
Joe, any bench?
I don't believe I have any bench at all. If anything, this was oddly enough maybe one of the slowest news weeks that we've had.
I think pretty easily. This might have been the slowest of the whole offseason.
Yeah, even with Bayo actually getting the extension, even with Giolito getting the surgery, like those were both already, they had writing on the wall for both of them. So nothing really there. Oh, I guess Joey Votto signed a contract with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah,
so
and the non-guaranteed.
I hope that he makes the team. I hope he makes the team. That's all.
It was like, yeah, we love Votto. I think it took a little bit of the sizzle away when it's like a non-roster invite.
Yeah.
But it kind of got treated like he made the team. When the signing happened, everyone was talking about, oh my God, like he's going home. And it's like, that's fine. Have that celebration. I genuinely have no problem with it. I just wish it was for the roster. And who knows? We'll see what happens. But if Otto's taking actual ABs for the Blue Jays, that's really cool for the game. I love that.
Exactly. Just one year in his hometown. That would be awesome. And then you see him in division, so he's going to be at Fenway a whole bunch, so I can stutter my way into a conversation with him.
Exactly. If I'm Votto, I'd make the roster, which I'm sure someone needs to tell him that, dude, you should try to make the roster. I would make the roster and then just try to go deep. If I hit a homer, get to the plate, tip the cap, wave to my hometown fans, and that's it. Never see him again. I mean, we want to see him doing post-career stuff, but just retire on the spot. Home run in his last at-bat in Canada. It's got to be in Toronto.
Yeah.
And just call it a career. Because, yeah, I mean, he is like 40, right? Like, this just... Yeah.
Game 7 of the season. He hits a homer. Rounds third.
It like barely
off,
hits off the
to
top
the
of the wall.
Yeah. BG's come off. Takes the jersey off. Lays it on home plate. And walks out like the grounds crew door.
Yeah.
Leaves his jersey on home. It's beautiful.
He does
that, I love
that. That Jake Gyllenhaal, like, you know that clip where he's just like blows the kiss and he fades off into the smoke, like through the door. He does that.
He would absolutely do exactly that, actually.
Like, I'm not actually fully saying this as a joke, because if anyone would do this, it would be Joey Votto. Like, he would be like, the only reason I wanted to come back was for it to be with the Blue Jays and to hit a home run and then retire on the spot. And then that's a hilarious story. That's the perfect way to end his career. He is a one of one. He's like the all-time one of one dude in Major League Baseball for how he carried himself. His career is so interesting and just probably the best interview guy in the league. If he did that, we would never forget that. That would be awesome. So
no,
we'll see. You got a closing thought?
You can go first if you got one.
Yeah, closing thought time. I think we should stop having super old actors and actresses present the award for Best Picture, Joe. I think it is time to give up that tradition. It is the most important award of the night. I thought the Oscars were close to flawless. They were very good this year. It was a smooth show. The 7 o'clock start was great. I think it really worked out well. And Kimmel is so specifically good. He's so specifically a good host. I would never call him a great host. I'd never say he sucks. I think Jimmy Kimmel knows what he is, and he's very good at being good at hosting an awards show. And to the point when I saw a lot of people saying Mulaney should host, and he totally should. Mulaney's almost too, like, and so then I did this, and then da-da-da-da, and then da-da-da-da, and so I think this. So he almost has a little bit. He goes a little too quick to maybe host a show. You kind of got to cool off a little bit to host a show. But John Mulaney hosted Oscars would be awesome. But Al Pacino goes out there looking like he just woke up from like a 10-year nap. And he has the envelope. And I always love, and Joe, you are a big Oscars guy. I always love when the older actors or actresses, especially like the all-timers, like Pacino's obviously an all-timer, anything they say gets like gets like the courtesy laugh stuff. So he wasn't even saying funny stuff, and it was getting like the and he wasn't even trying to be funny. And so he's opening the envelope and just says, "My eyes see Oppenheimer," as like a question. Like, you're announcing Best Picture, Al. Like, this is the award of the night. Mm-hmm. Completely skips the nominees. I think afterwards they said that was by design. Either way, someone messed up, because that shouldn't be by design. You should be able to give them their moment to get a little clip in there just for the promotion of the movie for people that haven't seen them. But yeah, and then afterwards, people are he's like, "What happened?" It's like, oh my god, he. So what happened was hilarious. That was a mini disaster at the end, but yeah. I thought it was a really good award show, and it just might be time. It might be time to call it quits for the older folks announcing the award. Obviously, yeah. The 2017 incident was crazy. Kimmel was on with Bill Simmons and had a funny story that I had never heard. It might have been the first time he told it, that Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, who presented the wrong Best Picture winner, which ended up not being their fault because they were handed the wrong card. It's interesting how it all went down, because apparently there was some drama, Joe, behind the scenes ahead of that moment, where they're both like legendary, actor, actress territory, and they were having a disagreement on who should say the winner of Best Picture, who should get to say it. And so when it got to Warren opening the envelope, Kimmel said that immediately he knew something was up, because he knew the winner wasn't La La Land. So he's looking at it going like, what? This can't be right. And so he was gonna say it because he wanted to be the guy that said it, but he didn't want to look bad. So he let Faye Dunaway say it. And so she thought he was being nice and being like, okay, we're settling our beef. You're letting me announce it. Thank you. Instead, he was just letting her look like an idiot announcing the wrong Best Picture winner, which I thought was hilarious. Man. So I just watched that back tonight. It's more awkward than I remembered. I don't know if it was the writer, director, whoever, the bald guy that was giving the speech. He's giving a really nice speech. Joe, he was up there for like a good 3 minutes before they announced, wait, it's the wrong winner.
And they announced it, too. It was like them giving a speech. One of their own crew came over and was like, we didn't win anyway.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not kidding. It's Moonlight. It's such an awkward moment. But anyways, let's just have like Brad Pitt present it, right? Have Brad Pitt, get Clooney, Julia Roberts, get those kind of people to present Best Picture.
The thing is, they're taking steps forward. They're moving in the right direction, right? Because the 2017 thing happened. They're like, okay, they changed the cards. I don't know if you saw that. But now the award category is at the top. It's in larger font. There's no mistake in it now. If you have the wrong envelope, you will know that you have the wrong envelope, right? But what they haven't figured out is to give these people a script. Everybody has a script when they go out there. You know, Ryan Gosling and who was it that was up there with them? They had a whole script where they're doing their little thing of like, ooh, you've been riding Barbie's coattails all summer.
That was funny. That was funny. Emily Blunt, that was funny.
Yes, yes. Ryan Gosling, by the way, stole the night.
You know how good you have to be to make I'm Just Ken that good when we've heard I'm Just Ken a million times since this summer? He's still exceeded.
Do you know how good you have to be to make Alex Speer live tweet the Oscars?
I know.
I got a Twitter notification that said best moment of the night. I'm like, is he talking about this performance? And he was.
He was.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So that was, give him a script when they go out there for the biggest moment. Give him it should be a heartfelt, the importance of the movies.
Yeah, keep it simple, right? Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Just have like a line, like nothing crazy, nothing out of the ordinary, and just get like no one needs jokes by then. No one needs like a funny. It's Best Picture. Like we've been doing bits all night. I thought the bits were fine. Melissa McCarthy? Is that her name?
Yeah.
She bombed. I don't know what
She's horrible.
That was.
She's
that
horrible.
Was terrible. That was not funny at all. I don't know what she was going for, but everyone else was basically really good. I was talking with Elaine, I'm like, oh, he hasn't done a Matt Damon thing yet. And then didn't he do something at the end with the dog and Matt Damon? The dog was peeing on Matt Damon's star in Hollywood Boulevard. And the Kimmel Matt Damon thing is still funny. The fact that that's been going on for like 20 years is very funny, and I applaud it. But yeah.
Yeah. That was good. That was good. I'm still of the belief with La La Land that they should have just given it to them then. At that point, they should have all been like...
Yeah, if you're up on the stage long enough, like, all right, they've passed 2.5 minutes. Like, this is now their award.
Like, look, they're holding the Oscar, and they're giving an acceptance speech. What are we going to do? Say, no, you actually didn't win? Apparently.
Yep.
Apparently, that's what they did. But, like, at that point, you just all go...
Yeah. Mm. Joe, the funny thing about that is that I think if you're, think about this. And I had a little experience with doing graphics for TV with Nessun. All that stuff is pre-planned. All that stuff is pre-edited, pre-done, pre-made. Yeah. So I want to know what happened in the control room at ABC when they announced La La Land, because they put the lower third up like 2 minutes into the speech saying La La Land, best picture, which tells me that they were like, what? Like, this isn't best picture. Like, what's going on? Do we make the graphic that says best picture? Because then that kind of, you'd almost feel like that would declare it final, that like they are the best picture winner.
Right.
So yeah, I thought that was funny, because then they had to like wipe that off the screen. The whole incident is absurd, but
it's crazy.
But yeah, that was my closing thought.
Name, name my son after that movie. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that on here.
La La Land Capone.
Yeah, that's why my son's name is La La Land. Yep.
Wrong envelope. Is that his first name?
Yeah. His name is Faye Dunaway.
Faye Dunaway Capones. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, good stuff. You got a thought?
It was about the Oscars. So I thought there was a pretty good shot that you weren't going to bring up the Oscars as your closing thought. So that
the odds were high that I wasn't going to do that. Yep.
Is just how crazy that was. And also, I'll tell you this. I was a little, I had some regrets that I didn't live tweet the Oscars, because I thought like, there's not a big crossover here. I'm not going to like,
I was surprised you didn't tweet about it. That's,
well, because I thought like nobody's going to be talking about it. I'm like not going to crowd up people's timelines and whatever. And I like put my phone down for the whole show. And then like when I checked Twitter afterwards, I saw everybody was talking about stuff all night. I felt like out of the loop. I was like, wait, I watched too. I went to film school. I'm better than all of you. Yeah.
You just tweet out your resume of like knowing this. I know this stuff.
I tweet out my IMDb link.
It's like, all right, you want credit for knowing films? All
right, man.
Weird moment, but okay. I know about films.
Here's
give
my letterbox.
Give me my credit.
I'm pretty stingy about giving 5 stars.
Yeah. That's fair. What were you going to say about the Oscars?
That I was just going to talk about the Al Pacino thing. Yeah, we covered it all.
Yeah,
it
that's
the Al Pacino stuff. It was too crazy.
It was tough.
Also, I'll say this, now that it's a couple years removed, the Will Smith 10-year ban feels a little long.
That's what it is. It's 10 years.
It's 10 years, and he's served 2 of them now. And now I'm like, it's a little long.
I mean, if you're Will Smith, you just don't go back, right? I mean, when is Will Smith 10 years from now is not going to be up for Best Actor. I mean, maybe, but it's highly unlikely.
I mean, I feel like those guys get like a late career resurgence where they get nominated.
Yeah,
for best,
true. Like
best
Bad
supporting
Boys
actor.
12.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be up there. That'll do it. That'll do it for episode 190 of the ITM podcast. As always, follow us on the socials at ITM_pod. We'll be back next week. The Red Sox are 2 weeks away. Two weeks away from opening day. Yeah. For Joey Capone, I'm Steve Perrault. Go Sox, kid.